Tariq is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across London today. This is their story. In East Ham, one of the most deprived constituencies in England, mathematics graduates who want to teach cannot access the training that would connect them to classrooms crying out for qualified teachers. The Department for Education sets recruitment targets while Treasury spending rules ensure those targets cannot be met. Here is what that policy choice looks like when it blocks a real person's life.
My parents never understood why I wanted to give up a potential finance career to teach teenagers who might not listen. But watching my younger cousin struggle with algebra in the back room of our corner shop on High Street North, seeing the moment when a concept finally clicked for them, I knew this was what I wanted to do with my first class mathematics degree from Queen Mary. Teaching was not a backup plan. It was the plan. I have this collection of vintage calculators from car boot sales and eBay. Odd little machines from the 1970s and 1980s that still compute perfectly 40 years later. There is something deeply satisfying about their mechanical certainty. The way pressing 2 plus 2 always gives you 4, no matter what chaos is happening around you. I thought teacher training would have that same reliability. You apply, you train, you teach. Simple mathematics. In January 2023, I submitted my PGC applications to the UCL Institute of Education, confident that my degree and my passion would be enough. Mathematics teachers were desperately needed in East London schools. The government had identified it as a critical shortage subject. Everything pointed toward a straightforward path into the classroom. The first door closed in March when the acceptance letter arrived with the funding details. The mathematics training bursary had been reduced from £28,000 to £15,000. The admissions officer I spoke to was apologetic, but matter of fact. The Department for Education has to work within Treasury's spending limits. She made it sound like a law of physics, as immutable as gravity. I tried to make the numbers work, calculating rent, travel, food, books. Even sharing a flat in Zone 4, £15,000, would not cover living in London while training unpaid for a year. The mathematics was simple and brutal. I pivoted to teach first, drawn by their promise of an alternative route into the teaching. Their website talked about addressing educational inequality, about placing excellent graduates in challenging schools. It sounded perfect. I attended their information session at the Excel Center in April, sitting in a hall with perhaps 200 seats, maybe 60 of them occupy. The presentation was polished, the mission compelling, but when I submitted my application 3 days later, I received a template response. Unfortunately, our London cohort is full. I had seen those empty chairs. I had counted them. Next, I contacted Newham Council about school direct training programs, hoping a local authority route might exist. The education department's workforce development officer was frank in a way I was starting to appreciate. We have no budget for new teacher training partnerships. The workforce development fund was cut last year. She recommended I try neighboring boroughs, but they all told me the same thing. There is no funding, became the refrain I heard everywhere. By summer, I was running out of options, so I went back to my old secondary school, Brampton Manor Academy. Walking through those corridors again felt like time travel, except for one stark difference. Two mathematics classrooms stood completely empty. Not unused for the summer holidays, but stripped bare, desks stacked in the corner, whiteboards wiped clean and abandoned. The head teacher, who remembered me as a sixth former, welcomed me into her office with tired enthusiasm. "We have interviewed qualified candidates," she explained, "but we cannot offer the salary support that would make London teaching viable. The starting salary is £28,000. Rent alone takes most of that. We used to have bursaries that helped new teachers get established, but those were cut 3 years ago." She gestured toward the window, where you could see the empty classrooms. "Those teachers left mid-year. One went to finance, the other moved to Birmingham, where housing costs half as much. I stood in those empty classrooms afterward, looking at the whiteboards where equations should have been written, at the desk where a teacher should have been planning lessons. The contradiction was physical. Undeniable. The school existed. The students existed. I existed, along with dozens of other mathematics graduates who wanted to teach. The need was obvious and urgent, yet somehow, according to everyone I spoke to, there was no money to connect us. That is when I started to understand something I had never questioned before. Every person who told me there is no funding spoke as though they were describing a natural disaster, something beyond human control. But governments are not households scrounging for coins down the back of the sofa. The UK government issues the pounds it spends. It creates them when it makes payments. The Department for Education could have maintained the £28,000 bursary. Newham Council could have been funded to run training programs. The head teacher could have been given salary support for new teachers. The question was never whether the money existed. The question was whether the Treasury chose to create it for teacher training instead of something else. They chose not to. That was a political decision dressed up as an accounting problem. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still here in East Ham, still watching those empty classrooms, still calculating what could be different if someone in Westminster decided that connecting graduates to teaching posts was worth creating the pounds to make it happen. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in the Treasury says, the cupboard is bare. The cupboard is never bare. It is simply locked by people who have chosen not to open it.
What Tariq experienced has a name, cherry picking. This technique works by selecting rare examples where spending failed to justify never spending, while ignoring overwhelming evidence of what happens when government does invest. It is like studying car accidents to conclude that no one should ever drive, while ignoring the millions of safe journeys that happen every day. In tobacco science, researchers cherry-picked studies showing no link between smoking and cancer, while burying dozens of studies proving the connection. In Tariq's story, the Treasury cherry-picks examples of wasteful education spending to justify cutting teacher training bursaries, while ignoring decades of evidence showing that well-funded teacher training programs produce better outcomes for students and schools. The most common objection is, look what happened to countries that overspent on public services. This refers to Greece, which used the euro and could not issue its own currency. Countries that issue their own currency have never defaulted due to domestic spending. Nordic countries with large public sectors have lower debt crises, not higher. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. And in Tariq's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. East Ham ranks 37 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025 from MHCLG, placing it in deprivation decile 1. The constituency has 671 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £18.8 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Navoise. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.